From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Thursday, August 10th, 2017. And on this day, another candidate joins the fray in the race for governor, and a new report finds the state of Maine is failing to adequately protect people with developmental disabilities. Those stories ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by USM's Muskie School of Public Service Masters of Policy Planning and Management, preparing students to be a force for positive change in their communities.
Diane Russell, a former Portland state representative, has become the eighth Democrat to enter the race for governor. Mel Leary has more.
Russell says her campaign will emphasize her experience as a force behind two referendum campaigns that many believed would never pass, the legalization of recreational marijuana and adoption of ranked choice voting. And Russell says her message will focus on several key issues, including the opioid crisis, affordable education, and health care.
Maine people want to know that they're going to have health care. That's why I'm going to be supporting single-payer health care, without equivocation. They want to know that they can, you know, make sure that their kids get a college education or a trade education.
Russell served 8 years in the Maine House, but was defeated in a state Senate primary last year. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
The State Ethics Commission unanimously voted today to subpoena the personal bank records of Lisa Scott, the Florida-based real estate developer behind a casino proposal in York County. Details on that from Fred Bever.
The commission has already subpoenaed financial records of companies that Scott owns and that were used to contribute at least $4.2 million to pay for the collection of signatures to get the casino initiative on the ballot. Scott's attorney, Bruce Merrill, objected to the scope of the request for her personal bank records.
If there's a deposit that's made that goes to some, clearly doesn't get funneled into the casino initiative, it's not relevant to your inquiry.
The commission instructed staff to narrow the focus to pertinent financial records and gave Scott until September 1st to make any further objections. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
Maine's insurance superintendent has approved double-digit rate increases for 2018 marketplace plans. The average rate increases range from 18% for community health options to 19% for Anthem and 27% for Harvard Pilgrim. Steve Butterfield of Consumers for Affordable Healthcare says higher healthcare costs, as well as the uncertainty the Trump administration has created about the future of Affordable Care Act's marketplace, are to blame.
I mean, this administration seems very intent on destroying the ACA from the inside, and I think insurers are, you know, questioning how they can hedge against that risk, and I think the superintendent, you know, reflected that in his decisions.
Insurance rates could rise even more if the Trump administration discontinues cost-sharing reduction payments to insurers. Steve Butterfield says congressional lawmakers need to take immediate action when they return in September to fund those payments. And finally, today, the state of Maine is failing to adequately protect people with developmental disabilities. That's according to a federal report released today. The U.S. Office of the Inspector General finds both the state and community-based providers do not properly report and investigate critical incidents involving the nearly 3,000 individuals in community-based care. Patty White has more.
During the recent two-and-a-half-year audit, 133 people with developmental disabilities in the Medicaid program died while under community-based care. Not one of those deaths were analyzed or investigated, including nine that the U.S. Health and Human Services Office of the Inspector General found were unexplained, suspicious, or untimely. One example, says Curtis Roy, an assistant regional inspector, involved a resident who drowned while taking a bath.
That is just very, very troubling to me that this would happen and that somebody who should have been monitored more closely wasn't, and as a result, appears to have drowned in a bathtub.
It's just one example where Roy says Maine is failing to meet state and federal requirements to report critical incidents. That's any event where the safety, welfare, or rights of someone with a developmental disability has potentially been violated. Deaths are one example. Emergency room visits are another. Roy says more than a third of those visits weren't reported.
We found that about 34% of the critical incidences involving these individuals were not reported by the community-based providers to the state agency.
The Inspector General's report also found that DHHS did not investigate 95% of incidences of suspected abuse or neglect and failed to immediately report such cases to a district attorney or law enforcement. Roy says DHHS also failed to make sure community-based providers do internal reviews of critical incidents and did not conduct its own analysis to identify trends.
In other words, they were not looking to see if certain providers had more critical incidences happening to their patients than others, or if there was a certain type of critical incident that was happening at all of the homes.
There's a lack of reporting on the most egregious abuse, and there's an over-reporting on stuff that does not necessarily rise to the level of abuse and neglect.
Kim Moody is executive director of Disability Rights Maine. The state is supposed to inform the organization about rights violations, but the Office of the Inspector General found that 20% of violations were not reported. Moody says both DHHS and community-based providers share responsibility for the problem.
These are people that didn't go into this to abuse people, but there's just not enough accountability. There's not enough money in the system.
Moody says the lack of sufficient reporting is a long-standing issue that's not exclusive to the LePage administration. It's also not exclusive to Maine. The Office of the Inspector General has issued reports on Massachusetts and Connecticut and found they, too, failed to properly report and investigate critical incidents. Though the report focuses on state agencies and community providers, Curtis Roy notes that hospitals in all of these states also failed to report as required by law.
The mandated reporters based at the hospitals who have treated these people didn't report a single incident of potential abuse or neglect to the state.
That's of the incidents investigated. Jeff Austin of the Maine Hospital Association says he suspects the gap could be because patients or their caregivers may not communicate that there's an issue to be concerned about.
My assumption is that it's just a difficulty in teasing that out and not so much a lack of understanding that there's an obligation to report.
The Inspector General's report made 7 recommendations to the state. Essentially, it wants DHHS to train its staff and community-based providers on proper protocol and to fully implement its own state regulations for critical incident reporting. In a written response, the acting commissioner of DHHS, Ricker Hamilton, says the issues identified in the report happened during a time of transition and have since been addressed. But the executive director of the Maine Association for Community Service Providers, Lydia Paquette, says she's not aware of any improvements. In a written statement, Paquette says community service providers have repeatedly brought concerns to DHHS about critical incident reporting and made recommendations similar to those in the report. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
And checking in on the weather now, partly cloudy statewide with some areas of coastal fog down east and lows in the mid-50s to the low 60s. Tomorrow, increasing clouds with isolated showers late in the day and highs in the 70s. And on Saturday, cloudy with showers and thunderstorms, highs in the mid-60s to the mid-70s. And that's Maine Things Considered. Thanks today to Ed Morin and Keith Shortall. I'm Nora Flaherty. For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Thursday, August 10th, 2017. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team. I'm Nora Flaherty.